Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
You are truly just a disgusting human being. Do you realize that?
Yes, I do realize that.
I mean, every day.
It's got me through quite a bit of jams in my life.
Yeah. Every day I come in, I kind of doubt myself, and then I listen to you for three or four hours. And I feel better about myself.
That's what I'm here for.
Dan, I mean, you're in here just doing
I'm
some reps.
Dan didn't burst into flames when I said that.
Why would I burst into flames?
Well, you're like a preacher.
Well, that doesn't mean I can't enjoy a
you're
body
closer
joke.
To the Lord than I am. That's what I'm saying.
Well, Dan's used to fake news, so that was just another piece of fake news, another exaggeration. He's used to that. Do we know if Abby's working the front desk right now?
I think so. It's her last day.
I know it's her last day.
She's here today. I don't know if she's there right at this moment.
Well, here's what I need, listeners, because our friend Abby is leaving.
Oh, geez. She's going to do this?
She's going back to Illinois. Can I just go in the hallway and just look? Or, Dan, can you just...
Well, your good friend isn't going back to Illinois, by the way. She's going to Ohio, so...
Oh, that's
how
right.
How good friends are you that you get that wrong? Nice. I hope she's not listening. That's embarrassing.
That's exactly right. You know, and her name is... what's her name again?
Alice.
Yeah. But I truly have enjoyed the back and forth with Abby. She's really fun. She gets a lot of the phone calls when people are mad at us. Average age of those folks mad at us is 147. I would like you guys to call 612-370-0611. And just say goodbye to Abby. 612-370-0611. Dan, can you call it right now? Could we call Abby on the air and see? Because if it's not Abby, you know.
Oh, she just patched right through, and I should be pretend like I'm a complaint call.
Yeah. Pot it up, Dan, right there.
Thank you for calling Entercom. This is Ryan. How can I help you today?
Ryan, I got a problem with the guy you got on the air right now.
Okay.
Chad, I think it's Hartman?
Yes, Chad Hartman.
Yeah, well, I think he backed into my car. I live near Plymouth, and he backed into my car, and how do I get a hold of him to make sure I get the damages back?
Oh, yeah, that's, I can definitely give you his extension.
Okay.
And
he makes probably quite a bit of money being on the air at CCO, right?
Excuse me, this is his lawyer, mm-hmm. David. Who's in charge down there? Is there somebody we can talk to that's really the main boss?
I suppose, let's see, I could transfer you to the director of content for WCCO.
No, we need to go higher than that. Higher than that. That sounds like a made-up position. Is there somebody higher than that?
I could send you to the manager of our stations here at Entercom.
Ooh. Oh, but your company's Entercom, is that right?
Correct.
How about the CEO of Entercom? Can we talk to that person?
They are not located at our Minneapolis branch.
Why is that?
Well, I mean, Entercom's a nationwide company.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so
this could be more money for us, Dave.
I like it.
Okay, well, let's see. I can find you the CEO's information, but I don't have that on hand, unfortunately.
What's his name?
Let me check for you real quick.
Or is it her name?
I believe it's his name.
Okay. Sexist organization.
David Field.
David Field.
That's made up. That can't be real.
What's his real name?
David. I'm sorry. I'm on Entercom website.
Is this a radio name? Because we'd like his not, you know, like.
No,
Billy Bob McGee. We'd like his real name.
He's the chairman and president and CEO of Entercom.
Okay. By the way, can we put you on the radio? This is Chad and Adam just down the hallway. We were trying to call Abby. Can we put you on the air?
God. Oh, please do. Yeah.
We're live.
You've
right
been
now.
On the radio.
You've been on the radio the last 3 minutes or so. I mean, what are you going to do, sue us? I mean, come on, you're suing your own company. Where's Abby? I want people to call to harass Abby. When's she coming back?
She's on lunch right now. She should be in at about, I want to say, 1:30. She'll be back.
Give it an hour and a half or so.
Is she drinking? What sort of,
You know, I couldn't tell. I mean, it being her last day, maybe. She's having a good time, but...
Big boozer. Well, I just said she's my good friend. She's going back to Illinois, and then I know it's Ohio. So, I mean, I sounded really sincere.
Yeah, so you're sitting here making me think I'm, like, panicking. Like, oh, my God, what's going on?
Well, first of all, if I backed into somebody, I'd take off instantly, you know, so they wouldn't catch me.
Right, of course.
Hey, Ryan, for being a support, we got a silver butter knife steak from Murray's.
As long as you have the keys, you know, then you can go raid the closet. Thanks, man.
Of course.
See ya. All right, the headline of this story at 1:12 here on CCO, we're going to talk about insulin, diabetes, what's taking place with a politician we had on about a week ago on medical marijuana, and he was excellent. He was just honest as can be. You may not have agreed with all of his answers, but it wasn't just political doublespeak. So we're going to talk about that at 1:35. My father at 2:35. He comes out, just rips the Gophers. And he says, although he does say multiple times in the interview, they got no chance to beat Michigan State. They just got no. It's almost like the Gophers shouldn't play if you listen to my father. The headline of this story, when bad pets happen to good people. So Linda Rodriguez offered up this story in the Boston Globe. It started with smacks at his sister each time he thought she was getting more attention. Then he'd dart out every day, open the door, scale a 50-foot tree in the backyard. Too scared to climb down, he'd sit and cry until neighbors with ladders would come and pull him out. But the last straw became when he emptied the contents of his bladder in somebody at the house's bed.
This is a cat?
That is correct. Not long after Johnny turned into the spawn of Satan, this individual had come home from a weekend away to find his daughter's mattress soaked with urine.
Ugh.
To the point that it was unsalvageable. Few issues, as the story points out, are more fraught than America's relationship with pets. We sleep with them every night. You know the cost, right? Yes, at times they are evicted very quietly. Nearly 6.5 million companion animals enter U.S. shelter systems each year, most of them for behavior problems. Of those, 1.5 million are killed. One might ask if pets are our family members, how do we even consider rehoming them? Attitudes started shifting in the 80s when pets began showing up in more advertising, TV shows, etc. In 2018, take a guess. Well, I'll just give it out here. The American Pet Products Association, the amount of money we spend on pets?
$6
billion. Oh, try $72
billion. $72 billion in the U.S. alone?
On our pets. And President Trump can't get a wall for $5 million or $5 billion. So they explore this. What do people do? There is another example of dogs that broke up a marriage, that there was such a divide about what the dogs were doing in the marriage, they got divorced. So what do? You have the bad dog, you have the bad cat, you have the bad platypus, and you bought it for genuine reasons. And this animal is killing you, right? It's destroying property. It's causing tension at home. You're not enjoying any of your time. It's deviating you from what you want to do. You want to come home or you want to relax. You want to laugh a little bit or you want to work. And the dog, the cat, is peeing, urinating, biting, doing whatever. But you know there's a pretty good chance if you return said animal to wherever you got it, bless you, that this animal's going to be killed. This animal is going to be euthanized. Adam Carter, a man we have falsely, or just let's take we out of it, I have falsely accused of hating dogs, which is not true. You miss Stella greatly, and then Gertie, the new dog you love, you're posing with pictures with it endlessly. It's like I see a picture of Morgan and Siggy like once a year. It's 17
dog
pictures.
Killer!
17 pictures of Gertie every single day.
Oh, I got a great video too, because Jen is dog sitting her sister's mastiff, and this mastiff two bills at least.
Ooh.
But there's a little video of Gertie walking over to the mastiff last night, kind of putting her paw on her face. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Could you identify your girls by name right now?
Well, I've never been able to identify one of them by name.
Exactly. Exactly. What do you do?
You
just hate this dog.
Not to this extreme, but Gertie continues to, at times, put my allergies to the test.
Oh, yeah.
And the amount of time I spend there, it is an issue. And I would never, ever ask, like, well, yeah, we're taking Gertie, you know, we're turning Gertie in. I mean, that'd be the last thing I'd ever ask. But, yeah, especially, you know, it just depends.
Let's go with Gert.
I would hope that my significant other, though, if it was drastic situation, would put me before the pet.
Doesn't always happen, though.
Oh, I know. A lot of people would put their pet in front of many, many human beings.
Yes, like joking here about the girls. There are people. Listen, I love animals, okay? Had dogs my whole time growing up. My allergies now are significantly worse. Kathleen, my ex, we used to live very close to each other. Her dog, Charlie, was at my house constantly. She moved recently. We still see each other all the time because we have 50-50 the kids. Charlie is like my dog, right? He's not in the sense that I've got it the best way. I can say, okay, take Charlie back.
Hit the road.
Right, you know. But, yeah, he kills me allergy-wise. You know, and he does. I mean, seriously, he's caused my computers, my Wi-Fi to not work. But wires and all
chewing.
Yes, oh. Chewing away. Right.
I was gonna say that's one powerful dog to block your Wi-Fi.
Oh, yeah.
What's going on there?
Yeah, he's very smart. He went to ASU.
Hacker dog.
It's one thing if it's the annoying things like this, but if it's the annoying things like this every single day, and they are disgusting to the point where part of you doesn't want to go home. What do you do? I want to get a little feedback on this. Let Dan in the conversation. If the pet is such a disaster that you've learned just to hate the pet, let's just be honest. But you know, if you return said pet to said place, it's over. It is over for said dog, said cat, said pet alligator, whatever you might have. How patient are you? And are you then an awful person if you send the animal to a death sentence? Because that's what you're doing.
Dog killer!
That's exactly right. 81807. How patient are you with an awful pet? Or call 651-989-9226. Once again, if you had any doubt about it, Adam Carter is just a disgusting human being. His comments, Dan, have you missed these comments, Dan? Let me guess, this is not the sort of byplay with Paul and Jor in the afternoon.
No, no, no. Paul and Jordana work much bluer than this. So, yeah, it's
you are correct.
You guys are lightweights compared to those two.
Oh, my God. From race. Really. Hey, they're calling me again with the same area code and the same prefix, so I must know them. So I should just go ahead and pick up that phone. I couldn't do it, Carter. I couldn't do it. If I'm coming home every day, as much as I love dogs, and this dog was making life into a quote-unquote living hell, pooping, peeing, biting, it was not enjoyable at all. I would try for an extended period of time. I would look at meds, too, because the story points out about how many, you know. Hey,
for you or the pet?
Oh, I'm already on meds. So that'd be no problem. I'm already there. But at some point, I guess I probably would say me or him or her. And maybe that makes me an awful person. and I don't want the dog or cat to die, but I don't want to dread coming home every day because of something that we've made a strong attempt on. And I love the animals, but I'm sorry, it's not the same thing as I've got a child.
No, it's not.
Who, and I'm not going to say, okay, I'm giving up on my kid, and I'm sending my kid to the guillotine.
Yeah. No, I know there's a lot of people that think that way. I'm not one of them. And if you are willing to choose the pet over your significant other, then obviously there are underlying problems with the significant other.
Yeah.
It should be a no-brainer. I'm sorry.
Dan Cook?
I think there needs to be at least some small distinction between a dog having, you know, bladder or bowel issues and a dog nipping at people or biting people.
Yeah.
I think, to me, those are two separate things. I think if you get to the point where the dog is legitimately dangerous to other people,
yeah,
then you have a responsibility to protect those people or the dog. I don't think there's any two ways about that. If it's making a mess in the house and there's other kind of stuff, yeah, I mean, I'm with you. You explore every available opportunity, you know, whether medication, whatever it is, training, you know, to try and stop that. I'd have a really difficult time taking a dog in knowing that it would likely be put down for those kinds of issues. But if it presented any danger to me or my family, in a heartbeat, I'd do it.
So let's say, because most of the time it is more than just urinating and pooping.
Sure.
But literally that said dog, maybe the dog is named Sed. Okay, so Sed.
Sed the dog.
Is every day you come home from work, every day, there's poop everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
There is poop everywhere, and you've already had to change your couch twice.
Mm-hmm.
You've had to change your bed three times, mm-hmm. carpet five times, right? No matter what you do, you've diapered up this animal. You've done everything. And it, you know, I know you're living the life of luxury.
Yeah.
In the beautiful streets of St. Louis Park.
The mean
not
streets.
All,
mean
not
streets
all of us
St.
have that
okay.
money you do, Dan.
Mean streets, Chad.
Yes. There are some mean streets in St. Louis Park. Not where you live.
Not where I live. No.
You're living the fluffy, fancy part of town.
Yeah.
You're just going to keep doing that?
But that, I mean, it's a great question, right? Because if you've exhausted every possible other alternative and this is still going on and you can't stop it, I mean, do you take into account where the dog's at in their life? I mean, if they're, you know, at a point in their life cycle where a couple of years down the road, they're maybe dying of natural causes anyway versus this is a younger dog that's going to be around 10, 12 years.
I think that's a fair question, Adam, too, because it's one thing if it's let's say it's Gertie 6 years from now, Carter, and you and Jen and the kids have built up more love for Gertie versus it's the first 2-3 months you have Gertie the dog, and Gertie is ripping apart and causing expensive damages at the place. I think it's easier to pull the plug early than it is later, right?
Well, pull the plug. Well, it's easier to correct the problems, too, earlier. I mean, that's a training issue. If the dog is that young and still doing it, you're thinking, well, we've got to correct this problem with our training of the dog.
Yes, on the bladder situation, the pooping situation. Now, here's...
No, but to the chewing and the ripping stuff up, too.
Yep. Here's a texter. Hate to say it, but a misbehaved dog is just like a misbehaved kid. They both require training. Usually it's not the dog that's bad. It's the bad owner. There can be many times where that is
100%.
True. 100% that's true. But guess what? There are plenty of examples, just like there are examples with parents that we talk about all the time, where the parent is a great parent and the kid is a complete jackass, or the opposite. The parent or parents are awful, and the kid turns out fat. Because there's too many people, and I got to be honest, there's too many older people who think one automatically leads to the other. And if you are someone who's putting in a lot of work, and this is still taking place, it's a lot easier to say in the hypothetical, well, I never would do it if you're coming home to that all the time. Curious, do shelters or the Humane Society have to take your pet? Do they ever say no? Like, if you bought Gertie at the Humane Society, as an example, and you now have owned Gertie for 3 months and you want to bring Gertie back and they just say, nope, too bad, you're on your own. I doubt the Humane Society would do that.
I doubt that. I think they try to dissuade you with every possible means because they certainly don't want to take in every pet. you know, I'm.
Because they know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right? My uncle invited his girlfriend to his home for the first time. She came in, sat on the couch. The dog expressed her displeasure. She promptly jumped on the other end of the couch. And guess what? The dog peed right there. Peed right there. That's one way of displeasure.
Do we know that's displeasure, though? I mean, Gertie, when she gets very excited when you come back home, she'll sometimes tinkle a little bit.
Tinkle.
Really? I wanted to keep it clean.
Tinkle. Typical person who uses the word tinkle.
Four, I think.
Or 84. And it's much more females.
I think it's four.
Much more females than males, right, Dan? Don't you think? Tinkle?
Yeah, I'd probably say that in that direction, yeah.
Tinkle? Adam, do you like when... So it sounds like you like when Gertie tinkles.
No, but I understand that...
You're okay with it?
Yeah.
So if you just buy some, you know, with your new pad on Summit Avenue, and you buy one of those fancy beds that's cost $10,000, because that's the way you roll...
Mm-hmm.
And Gertie comes on over and just poops and tinkles away on that bed.
Not good, no.
And
that
bed is
be a problem.
That bed is done in like two months.
Geez.
How are you feeling about that little pleasure now?
Not good.
Not good. I don't think he'd be quite as understanding.
No.
Do you?
No, I don't think he would.
You know, I think I know him. Failure is an option, as Texas says. Yeah, that's correct. 2001, adopted from the Humane Society. She attacked me, so I returned her. Readopted her 4 days later, still have her. 19 years old. Better person than the three of us.
Yeah.
Right? I'm sorry. When the dog attacks me and I return the pet, I don't think I'm going to say, one more chance. You know, just miss my neck here. I only had to go to, you know, the emergency room briefly. I'm going to give you another chance. Insulin. We hear about this. We hear about the shortage. We know this is a statewide problem. We know it's a federal problem. What is taking place with the state legislature? Let's talk about that in moments after traffic and weather on CCO.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Recently, we had the chance to chat with Senator Scott Jensen. He's a Republican out of Chaska for the first time. We were talking about medical marijuana and a vote in a committee and where he stood and where it might go. I was drawn to the Senate again. I saw this story yesterday in City Pages on insulin. And insulin has been discussed an awful lot locally and nationally. Shortages, costs, availability. And with the rise in diabetes across this country, and I think people know the name Alex Smith now, and it's sad that we know it for this reason. It was 2 years ago. Smith's 26, lives in Minneapolis with diabetes, was forced off his mother's health insurance shortly after his birthday, died less than a month later without insurance. His insulin had an out-of-pocket cost of over $1,300. So now we have something called the Alex Smith Emergency Insulin Bill, and it was inspired by this story. So let's bring Scott Jensen, who is a doctor himself, who's taken some time out of his practice today to talk to us. So, Scott, I really appreciate it. Tell me why you were so drawn to this particular story and this particular cause.
Well, in actuality, I had been working on a bill to get at this kind of thing for the last 9 months. It came out of the Senate Select Committee on Healthcare Consumer Access and Affordability, and I was actually out in Washington, D.C., presenting it to the National Governors Association, and it was a prescription drug affordability commission bill. And I worked pretty hard to sort of set the table with that, but I've not been able to get a hearing on that bill. And so when Senators Wicklund and Little came to me and said, you know, we've got this critical insulin issue. And Senator Little had gone ahead and put together, a community open forum, and lots of people attended. Then there was another day at the Capitol where people concerned about the insulin crisis because of cost and unavailability to people who couldn't afford it. So when he came to me, it was a natural, yeah, this is critical.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it's just one piece of the puzzle, because we've got other drugs that are
perhaps sure, absolutely,
similar, you know, like Humira and a variety of, if you will, specialty biologic drugs that are exorbitant costs. I've got a constituent in my district who's got an 11-year-old child who a recent drug came on the market that can help her walk for the first time in her life, potentially, and they priced it at $750,000 a year, $125,000 every injection.
Oh.
And, you know, at some level, you wonder if this is unconscionable.
Can I just answer that? Yeah, it is, when it's that amount of money, right?
Well, you know, and I agree with you, Chad, and this is one of my frustrations with the legislative process, is sometimes we become so ideologically framed up that when something like this stares us right in the face, we're still working within constraints that we always thought we would stay working in. I mean, yeah, I get it. Regulation seems to argue against the free marketplace. But at some point in time, regulation is necessary at some level. We've done that with public utilities.
Sure.
We didn't. What would stop the utility companies from doubling our electrical costs tomorrow? So sometimes a little regulation goes a long ways, and I think we need to regulate pharmaceuticals. That's what Canada does. Canada puts ceiling prices or rate setting for new release drugs and things like that. They've got a commission that they've empowered to have some teeth. But I've had trouble getting that. I've not gotten a hearing on that. So when the insulin bill came through, I thought, well, this is just one piece of the puzzle, but it's so critical. I'll do whatever I can to get any one of these across the goal line. So I signed on.
So let's just talk about the insulin part, and then let's get to the bigger part, because the insulin part does resonate, including resonates with somebody very important in my life. The goal of this bill, I'm reading from the City Pages story, is set up an emergency fund for diabetes patients managed by the Minnesota Department of Human Services and funded by fees on insulin manufacturers. Once a year, patients could tap into the fund if they needed help paying for life-saving medicine. Are you okay with the way it's explained in that manner, and is that an accurate explanation of it?
Yes and yes.
Okay. Do you believe that too many people in your party, Republicans, who philosophically believe in the market, believe in enterprise, believe in a bit of a supply and demand, and at times can be very, very reluctant on government control, especially in medicine, are being just too dogmatic on where they stand on this issue?
No, I don't think that's fair, Chad. I think it's more like this. We've got 35 Republican senators. Many of them are not even aware of my bill that hasn't gotten a hearing, Senator Wicklund's bill, which hasn't gotten a hearing. They're waiting for things to drift through the committees, and then they would hear about it. But if you look at the committee chairs, what happens is they get a ton of bills coming down the pike. I almost sort of think of it like spring baseball, where the Twins have 75 players coming out, and the manager's got to sift through them and say, okay, you know, which ones of these players are going to stick? And I think that the chairs do the same thing. They have hundreds and hundreds of bills. And I think one thing Senator Wicklund may not be aware of is in the HHS area, Senator Benson has been working with Senator Rosen on a bill that has quite a bit of similarity, really blowing open the doors of transparency in regards to the insulin costs. Why are pharmaceutical companies charging this much, this much, this much? And so I actually spoke with Senator Rosen yesterday and said, have you thought about taking some of Senator Wicklund's bill, the portions that you maybe don't have, and putting it into your bill? Because Senator Rosen's bill is still early in the process of moving forward. And she said, yeah, I would look at that. So I'm going to suspect that over the next 48 to 72 hours, Senator Rosen will be talking with Senator Benson saying, you know, my bill does this. It doesn't go as far as Jensen's bill, and that's why Jensen's bill goes maybe a little further than people are comfortable with, or maybe Rosen's bill was first in the hopper. I don't know that, but we could certainly take this insulin bill and take these pieces that you've already mentioned, you know, sort of having an emergency stash available. And it seems to me that would be something where they would be germane. We'd be doing the same thing. And so I think it's a little bit more complicated than, you know, the Republicans not knowing about,
okay,
or the Republicans not willing to go along with regulation. I think that we do look at that, but certainly as a philosophical thing, Republicans generally avoid regulation as the first way to solve a problem.
Senator and Dr. Scott Jensen from Chaska is kind enough to join us. We're talking about an insulin bill and in the broader sense, talking about costs. Let's talk about the bigger issue where it's all these different drugs. And insulin clearly is in that group, and you name it. It could be the President of the United States. It could be the Speaker of the House. It could be politicians in all 50 states. I believe them genuinely. And also there's a political component to this because who is happy in this country with the cost of the drugs we pay? I mean, the companies, apparently, they're happy. And it hits some people much harder than it does others. Do you think in Minnesota we can pass a bill which will garner enough support to pass and that the governor will get on board that we will see costs drop down in some way where it benefits us and it does not hurt companies, pharmaceutical companies, when they're still trying to explore what can be the prohibitive costs of new drugs which can help us out in the short and long term?
I think the solution is out there. And I think part of it is the pharmaceutical manufacturers. But I think I'm going to put some of this on the pharmacy benefit managers, on the health insurance carriers,
yep,
and on physicians. Cheaper insulin is available out there, but we have to we have to work with our pharmacists, and we have to go get it. I don't know if you remember the days where we used to have NPH insulin, and we had regular insulin. So those two things we'd combine to take care of a diabetic's needs during the day, NPH being longer acting, the regular being shorter acting. But those have been replaced by more expensive insulins. Well, then we'll just take one of them called Lantus. Well, Lantus is now close to expiring on its patent. And so you'd expect a generic or a biosimilar to come out and start lowering the cost. But as soon as these insulins become to a point where they could be cheaper, they sort of get thrown under the bus, and they're not good enough. And so then we go to the next new one, and the next new one may well be something like, well, the 2JO, T-O-U-J-E-O. And all they've done is maybe change the concentration. In 2JO, what they do is put 200 units per cc instead of 100, and otherwise it's the same molecule. At that point in time, the price goes up again. We need to say, listen, not everybody has to have BMW insulin.
Yep.
Folks just want to have reasonably priced insulin. So let's find out.
Can I just to make sure I'm getting this right, you think there is a way where everybody doesn't have the highest price insulin, but is it every bit as effective as the cost going up? Because I'm looking, you know, late today, you know, after we even scheduled the interview with you, USA Today with a story talking about the cost here. The price of the modern versions of the drug insulin that more than 7 million Americans need to live has tripled from 2002 to 2013 in one study. So if I'm someone who is dealing with those type of costs and I don't pay for the highest end insulin, but I'm treating, you know, my stepson, he's going to be fine?
You said you made some comment about the highest quality.
Yep.
I think that might be a sticking point. I think you're going to hear the drug manufacturers tell you, listen, this is an upgrade. And if everybody insists on having the upgrade, then we're going to see the price escalation the way we have. When I take a drug, I take the generic. I had an ear infection last week. I took the generic drug.
Okay.
I don't think most of my patients care about whether or not they have the latest and greatest. They just want something that they can consistently access and consistently use, because say they're taking an insulin that doesn't have 95% availability, bioavailability. Maybe it only has 85%, but it doesn't matter as long as they consistently take the same kind of insulin, because they can monitor their sugars and they say, this works. And I called a couple pharmacies. I called Walgreens. I said, if I want NPH insulin, can I get it? And how much could I get it for? And they said, well, It's only present in vials, so it's not a pen. It's not as easy, but it's available in vials, and we could get it for about $100-$125 for
why,
a month.
Why isn't it available in the easiest way for people to take it?
It's more expensive to make.
Yep.
And
so that's tied to the cost.
Yep, it is. So when they make it in a pen, they're charging, well, just like the EpiPen. There's an EpiPen out there that costs $4,000, but when you open the pack and get it going, it has batteries in it, and it has voice instructions, just like an AED.
Yeah.
And so whenever they can market it in something fancier than the last time, they charge through the nose for it. But if, you know, for 25 years in medicine, I took care of diabetics and never used an insulin pen. I always had my patients drawing it up from a vial, and they did fine. And if we went back to that in some of those situations, we could conceivably get insulin for less than $100 a month. But we all have to work together. And if we did that, then we'd be driving these pharmaceutical manufacturers to start reconsidering how they're pricing. But to get back to your point earlier, Chad, do I think what Senator Wicklund's trying to do in her bill could be accomplished? Yeah, I think if the motivation were there, we could get it done. But if the motivation's not going to be there for both parties, both houses, the governor to come together and tell the pharmaceutical manufacturers, we are not going to let you undercut our efforts, because there's no question, when the pharmaceutical companies come against you, you know you're in for battle.
I'm just going to read two last texts. Again, Dr. and State Senator Scott Jensen is with us talking about insulin, a bill that's out there, and then other bills that maybe they can work in tandem and come together with the best bill. Here's two texts, sir. Just tuned in, Chad, was quoted over $1,000 for insulin. It is a scandal to the highest degree. Another text, the insulin issue is just the tip of the iceberg. I lost a son because of his inability to afford anti-rejection drugs post-transplant. The issue is deep and far-reaching. Our sympathies to Mike. Great sympathies. I just, you know, can't imagine life and having something like that in my life. When you hear those texts, what strikes you?
We got to get it done. And I think the second text that you quoted, Chad, that whoever that person was is spot on. Insulin is just the tip of the iceberg. You know, she mentions an anti-rejection drug. We're going to see a lot of therapies come out that are CAR T cell therapies for a variety of cancers and things like that. And that's going to be really expensive, where we use our own immune system. And we just have to get something in place that says we're not going to let the drug manufacturers literally rape and pillage our budget. Because when we spend that much money on just a very, very small group of drugs, and other countries are paying a fourth of it, I mean, don't we look like suckers?
Yes, I agree with you 100%. I just want to see it happen, sir. Right.
Well, and I do too, and I'm criticized with some frequency at the Capitol because I'm not known as the most patient individual. I had a 77-year-old farmer in today. And he looked at me and he said, you know, Doc, I got to tell you. He said, I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican. I just want you to go down there, discuss the issues, and get the job done, for heaven's sakes. That's what people want.
I agree with you. Sir, it's always a pleasure. We'll reach out again soon.
Chad, have a great day.
Doctor and Senator Scott Jensen on insulin drugs, prices, and some pretty powerful comments. You want to react at any point, 81807. Or direct phone calls, we'll take those also. 651-989-9226. Your stories and maybe your hope that something is going to change. We're getting very optimistic in that promo.
We're just excited for the ball season.
I am too, but can I, if they get off to a bad start, can I do the other promo? Another off season where the additions were horrible. Go to Target Field for the fun. But yeah, we'll be there next Thursday for the opener. By the way, Kyle Gibson on yesterday with Neil Diamond. I mean, what other show has the number two pitcher on with a Hall of Fame rock and roll star?
I can't think of one.
No, I can't think of one either. Jim is calling in on the drug price issue. Go ahead, Jim. We got a minute.
Okay, 2 points. Two words and 2 points. One is personal responsibility. First of all, if you're pre-diabetic, do what your doctor says, lose some weight, get off your butt, and get moving, and you can turn an awful lot of that around. We have an obese, lazy society that kind of like Veruca Salt. I want it now. Everything has to be easy. And if I can't get it now, I'm going to be mad.
For a lot of people, yes, but for a lot of other people, they have it no matter what they do. But
The second thought is if you're going to put a pot of money out there for people to tap into, put some carrots and sticks out there that says you can get the money if you've done the personal responsibility. And I know there are people who will die without insulin no matter what they do. I work in healthcare. Yep. But the vast majority of people who, you know, come in and say, well, my blood pressure is 53.
I got to jump in. It's an interesting point. How far are we going to go with people literally dying on that sort of incentive situation?
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.